Hi, this is Mark Cuniberti. You're about to listen to another edition of our award-winning economic show entitled Money Matters. The information given on this show is obtained from a variety of public sources and is deemed accurate at time of airing but is not guaranteed. This show is pre-recorded at an earlier date, so market indices and related stock market references may not be accurate at time of airing, and we will not be taking any listener call-ins. Thanks again for listening. Now enjoy the show.
And welcome back to Money Matters, your economic community forum. Discussions in this show should not be construed as specific recommendations or investment advice. Always consult with your investment professional before making important investment decisions. I am Mark Charles Cuniberti. I am an investment advisor representative through Cambridge Investment Research Advisors, Inc., a registered investment advisor. The views expressed are my opinions only, or the guests and the authors I may read on the show. They do not necessarily reflect those of Cambridge, this station, and staff members or advisors. And welcome to the 274th show, Fast Food Employment Needed. And money matters is about money, as money does matter, and matters of money affect us all in some way or another. Whether you have a lot of it, a little of it, or none of it, it controls our economy, our planet, our country, in some way or another, controls the very way we live our lives. It's about your money, your lack of it, or abundance of it. It's about our lives and livelihood. In short, money matters is about you. So we'll cover the Dow real quick. We always talk about these major points here. Dow sitting at 26,037. 26,037, up 62. Now, these large numbers, 26,000, 25,000, 27,000, 28,000, large numbers, among other smaller numbers, these large numbers by the technical analysts are regarded as a resistance and support. So, if we're at 26,037, 26,000, the large number below us, is what would be regarded as a support level. If we are below 26,000, where we started today, then 26,000 above, let's say we are at 25,950, 26,000 would be a resistance level. So the Dow is bouncing around a support and resistance level, isn't it? Since it went up today, it went through a resistance level at 26,037. So we'll see where it ends. The NASDAQ's getting hammered today, down 0.81%. It's a pretty big move considering the Dow is up 0.24%. So it's probably some tech firms possibly getting hit there. Out on today's charts, just the news from yahoofinance.com. Delta Airlines shares dip, Exxon down slightly, and Facebook shares are tumbling. So there you go. Facebook was down early afternoon trading at around 3%, minus 3%. Facebook said, per Yahoo Finance today, it will invest over $1 billion to build a data support center in Singapore. It's first in Asia, powered by renewable energy and adapted to the state's tropical climate. The city is expected, center is expected to be operational around 2022. So Delta Airlines down 3% after reporting record August traffic. There you go. Sell the rumor. Sell the news, buy the rumor, whatever, how that goes. So anyway, today was going to be a different show. It was going to be about something totally unrelated to what the show is today about. Now, this all started, I don't know, about a month ago. I was sitting in a fast food restaurant line. We are not allowed to mention the fast food restaurant in question here. There's Ralph. Hey, Ralph. How you doing? Great. All right, again. All right. We're not allowed to mention the fast food restaurant, so we are taking calls all hour today. And the story goes, a month ago, I was sitting in line at a fast food restaurant drive through. I don't really eat fast food myself, but my kids like it occasionally, so I give in. And they had had a help wanted sign up for $11.25 an hour. $11 an hour, I think it was $11 an hour and $11.25 an hour if you were available to work all shifts. And I posted on social media, got a pretty big following there. I posted that the following. I said, I see very little reason for anyone who is able-bodied to be standing out on the corner with a sign that says money needed or work wanted. With this help wanted sign at a fast food restaurant out there. Okay. That's what I said. I see very little reason for an able-bodied person to be out there with a sign saying I need money or work when this particular fast food restaurant had had this sign up, as far as I remember, about 6 weeks. Little did I know that that would start a firestorm on this posting that I had. I post quite a bit. I don't really interact some, but I get caught in interacting. Get caught on that darn site. Get, man, I wrote an article a long time ago about the time burned on social media sites. That stuff is addicting, man. I'm telling you, you got to be careful with that stuff. I do it mostly for business and for community support. I do a lot of community support. We do a film series called Investing in Community, where we cover the nonprofits and organizations and events happening around the county, encouraging you to buy local and to live sustainably. And we do for-profit companies, for-profit videos, and we do nonprofits and events and the rest. And so most of my social media revolves around that. There's no, I'm not allowed to solicit per se for private business there. All my social media is monitored by the regulatory authorities because I'm a federally licensed investment advisor representative. And so I got to be careful what I post. And so anyway, this thread started to go crazy. I mean, it went crazy. It went 400 or 500 comments in the space of about 2 days. And people were arguing back and forth. Here were the arguments, okay? Now, I will tell you, after 2 days of this thing going back and forth, 500, 600 comments and people warring on my Facebook site, and I shared it to a couple of other peep sites and vent sites, and people were just warring back and forth. Here were the arguments on this. The arguments were that, one, that the $11.25 was not, quote, a living wage. That was the argument for some. Let's say the people on aisle one, they were saying it's not a living wage. They didn't like fast food. Some people didn't like fast food. Some people thought that it was slave labor. And some people thought that this fast food restaurant should raise it to a living wage, whatever that is. I don't know what a living wage is. Okay. The other side of the aisle, aisle two, was saying that they agreed with the statement that I put on there, that people should take whatever job they can get. And it's a fast food restaurant. That the fast food restaurant was paying actually over minimum wage. And so the argument was is that if people needed to work, they should start there. And so on it went. And it went back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. So I promised I would take calls today on this, and we're going to start right out. And we don't mention the fast food restaurant, please. And you're live on the air with KVMR. Oh, wait.
You just had a program on American Indians.
Oh, yeah. We're going to have to call the other number for that. We're taking calls live on another matter, 530-265-9073. Okay? Thank you. Okay. So anyway, so the argument got into minimum wage, living wage, and back and forth it went. And so you're welcome to call in right now at 530-265-9555 and comment on this and tell me that what was your side of the argument. Now, my training in economics goes back. My first economics book I read when I was 14, okay, and I graduated with economics with honors. 1979, and I've been studying economics for my entire life. I can't hang a bookshelf. I'm no good with woodworking. You know, God did not give me that talent. I can't build anything. In fact, when I assemble a bike, my wife says, all the kids leave because Daddy will be swearing. I'm pretty good mechanically, actually, because I used to rebuild cars and motorcycles when I was a teenager, but I've kind of lost a lot of that. So here was my stance on this, okay? I started out at Jack in the Box at $2.65 an hour, and I actually loved it, but I was a teenager, right? I loved it. And I am of a firm belief that my kids should work for a living, and they get whatever they can pay, whatever somebody can pay. So my gist of that is, if there's jobs out there paying $11.25 an hour, I see no reason why somebody shouldn't take that job. Now, is it a living wage? I don't really know what a living wage is. But I was going on a little bit on Facebook saying that, you know, I am not a fan of minimum wage laws. And I know that creates a firestorm of controversy on this station and everywhere else. And the reason I'm not a fan of minimum wage laws, because I'm a very, very strong student of Austrian economics. And Austrian economics basically says, for minimum wage laws, first of all, if minimum wage laws worked, you wouldn't have to keep instigating them. All right. That's the definition of insanity. You know, you keep raising minimum wage laws because they don't work. And the reason they don't work is because, let's say I have a company, a restaurant, that I have $1,000 worth of profit that I can afford to pay my employees. And let's say I have 10 employees making $100 each. And they've agreed to work for me for $100 each. Nobody forced them to work. And I've agreed to pay them $100 each. Now, let's say a regulatory body comes by and makes me raise my minimum wage to $200 per person. Okay? So, seeing them as I only have $1,000 in profit to allocate to wages, I either have to fire five people, right? Or not turn a profit and raise my prices. So minimum wage laws, what they do is, one, they cause unemployment. Because when you raise the minimum wage, certain companies can't afford to pay the minimum wage, you'll fire people. And so you get more people that are fired that go on public assistance because they're fired. As a result, also, my customers now get serviced by five people instead of 10 in this particular example. So the service goes down. So you get lousier service. I have to fire five people. Now, it's better for the five people that are working. So you've got five people that are still pulling the cart. But if five people have been kicked off the cart and are now riding in the cart on public assistance. So some of the arguments on this posting was that they should not accept the $11.25 an hour, $11 an hour that this fast food place was offering. So my response to that was that, well, what you can do, one of two or three things. One, you can wait for this fast food restaurant to implement higher wages. But in the meantime, while you wait, how are you going to make a living, right? And so if you're waiting for these fast food restaurants to pay more, then you're going to be on public assistance in the meantime. So you're going to be in the cart instead of pulling the cart. Now, if you decide to wait until minimum wage laws are implemented that forces this fast food restaurant to jack their wages, then while you wait, you're still going to have to get another job. And since the going rate for this particular institution or entity was 11 or 11.25 an hour, that's what they were paying. Now, what was interesting is this thing went on for 2 or 3 days. And then somebody sent me a photograph of the sign. The sign had then been put on the front of the building. The one on the back of the building was still there, but another sign had been put on the front of the building. And both signs had been changed from 11 to 11.25 an hour to 12 to 12.25 an hour. So this fast food restaurant, I don't know why that was. I don't know why, if they saw the firestorm on the social media, I'm sure that it got back to somebody because it was going crazy. I don't know if the restaurant then jacked its wages up, in which case, kudos to me, right, for allowing this very large chain restaurant to jack its prices. I don't know. But it raised its rates and put the sign on the front of the building. And so that was sent to me. I drove by the particular business, and the sign indeed had been changed and a bigger one put on the front of the building, and it was raised. We'll take a call right now. Good morning. You're live on Money Matters. How are you? Who's this? Hello? Hello? Oh, I guess they dropped it. Okay. 530-265-9555 if you want to comment, or address this situation here, and I would do welcome phone calls. So I don't know whether it was because of I and that firestorm. It may have been a franchise which is owned by an individual owner that saw that, or maybe it was just a coincidence. I do not know. I did walk in to the restaurant and ask for the manager. And we have a call. Okay. You're live on the air on Money Matters. Who's this?
Nick Collier.
Hi, Nick. How are you?
I'm very good.
Okay, please don't.
There's a couple of issues.
Please don't mention the business in question. Please all have to bleep it out.
No, I won't do that.
Hi, Nick.
There's a couple of issues. There's a couple of issues around people standing on corners and with a sign, and oftentimes it's because, if you try to get a job at any fast food restaurant or really any restaurant, they're going to do a background check. And what if you're a felon? Mm-hmm. If you're a felon, you don't get a job.
Mm-hmm.
Also, if you have a history of mental illness, mm-hmm. even a slight mental illness, and, like in high school, you were like you're having having trouble. That stuff follows you for the rest of your life.
Mm-hmm.
There's a whole series of things that people have problems with, and getting those low wage jobs, even getting those jobs.
Mm-hmm.
Also, if you look at it one more time, if a person is illegal alien,
mm-hmm.
they can't get those jobs.
Correct.
Okay.
Nick? Nick?
Go ahead. I'll listen to you.
Yeah, no, Nick. No, I just want to let you know that I think everybody knows who Nick Collier is, right?
Really?
Yeah, you have a book out, don't you?
I have 8 books out.
There you go. Well, it's nice to hear from you. Anything else you wanted to add, Nick?
No, I think that's enough.
That's great. Those are great points. Okay, that's Nick Collier calling in. Thank you, Nick. The background check, mental illness, and there was something else that he'd mentioned. I think that revolved around my comment of able-bodied. So let me correct that. My posting said any able-bodied person. So I would say, obviously, if someone is mentally ill or needs help or does have some problems, background problems, obviously I probably should rephrase that and say they don't fall in the capacity of being able to take that job. So that's a great comment there. And so I would probably say that those that have those issues on getting employment would not be applicable to what I was saying. So that's a great comment. Thank you, Nick. And so I went into the restaurant, and I do write for the local paper here, among others, the Union. And I made a mistake. I went to the manager, and I said, "Hi, I'm here from the Union. I'd like to talk to you about the sign on the building." And she said, you can't talk to any of my employees. You're from the Union. I said, no, the Union newspaper. So she said, "I can't make any comments about anything. Let me take your number and we'll call you." Well, I knew that was going to happen. They never did call. So I really don't know what made them change that rate. Could have been a total coincidence. I don't know. So it was interesting. So I am of the belief that minimum wage jobs do not work. They cause unemployment. Now, I know a lot of people have come back with their opinion on that. And everybody's entitled to their opinion, of course. And so do minimum wage laws work? Well, they work for the people that stay employed. Yes, they do. But as a result, of at least what I've seen in coaching small businesses and looking at finances, minimum wage laws are hurt. And I know it's tough, how do you make a living on something $11.25 an hour? But, my particular position is you take what you can get because that's what the market will bear. And if you don't take it and you're able to take it, no matter the other issues that Nick had brought up, then I would have an issue with that. You're live on the air with Money Matters. Who am I speaking to?
Hi, my name's Jeff. How are you today?
Hi, Jeff. Good. Thanks for the phone in. So, the topic?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I think it's fascinating. You've done a great job in the point of showing how inflation is rather synonymous with the devaluation of currency. And
mm-hmm.
so, essentially, as we continue to make the value of money smaller, you have to give people more of it. And since minimum wage is effectively a protection for people against corporations. I think that, corporations are great and they're important in many different aspects, but I think that there's just a responsibility by people to keep the corporations honest and representative and sustainable for people.
Sure. Okay. Is that it, Jeff? So,
yeah, that's it.
All right. Thanks for your phone call. Thanks, Jeff. That's a good point. It is an issue, with a capitalistic society. There are many, many dynamics to a capitalistic society. And, people can point to the 08, 09 crisis and then the dot-com crisis before that. And they say that capitalism is the fault. Now, I will tell you that the system that we see in place today is not capitalism. It is semi-capitalism, or some people would call it crony capitalism. And that statement I agree with. I also call it a lobby capitalistic system. But in the true sense of the word, free markets, and I've even said free markets, and people have railed me for saying that I'm a free market advocate, and I am a free market advocate. Because if you study capitalism and you study free market dynamics, free markets will correct most of the ills in an economy and employment if it is allowed to operate. And another caller. Hi, you're live on the air with Money Matters. Please refrain from mentioning the entity in question. You probably know the subject. Who am I speaking to?
Frank.
Hi, Frank. Speak a little bit louder, please. And if you have your radio on, we have a delay, so that's going to confuse you a little bit. What's your input today, Frank?
Well, it's a Bluetooth. I'm on a Bluetooth. Is that okay?
Yeah, we can kind of hear you. It's a little muffled, but we'll, you know, you have something good to say, so we'll listen.
Well, isn't economics pretty much just common sense, like what you're talking about?
Well, I don't know if economics is common sense. There's a whole science to it. It's really not a science. It's a study of social behavior, but go ahead.
Well, the idea, there's only so much money you can work with, let's say, with a business, and if you can't work with that amount, then you have to cut back. So the idea of the minimum wage law does make it so that the business owner, if he's budgeting a certain way, he can't function the way he thought he was going to be able to function if he has to comply with the mandate.
And I agree with that. Anything else?
Yeah, it's basically common sense. So
That part of it is common sense. I think where people get concerned, excuse me, is when it doesn't work. I mean, when people are starving and working hard and not being able to make a living wage. Did you want to comment on that?
Well, you can't. I mean, $15 an hour is not a living wage either.
That's true.
That's true. You got to have two people doing that. If your husband and wife have to be doing that. Okay,
that's,
you make $30, you know?
That's totally true. I totally agree with you, Frank. Anything else?
The idea that, hard work pays off. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times you got to eat dirt before you eat caviar.
That is true.
And a lot of people don't want to start out just working, because working actually gives you a little bit of self-esteem, mm-hmm. you know?
I'm agreeing with you there, too.
Because you're actually being a producer instead of a consumer.
That's true. That's true. There are several studies that will say that if you're not working, you have a tendency toward more depression and more bad behavior. That will probably be debated, and that's okay. But, I have seen at least people that are given money. Let's say there are particular Indian tribes that are given money from casino money, or they inherit a lot of money. Some of them have problems with that because they're not still working. Anything else, Frank?
That's pretty much all I wanted to say.
All right, Frank, thanks for your phone call. And there's the other side of the aisle, is that if you can make $11 an hour, $12 an hour, $15 an hour, is that better than not working or taking on the public dole? I don't think welfare and unemployment will pay you more than that. So, there's the question there. We have another phone call. And you are live on the air with Money Matters. What is your first name, please?
Gita.
Hi, Gita. My name is Mark. How are you?
I'm fine.
Good. Please don't mention the entity in question. And what would you like to comment on?
That the premise that capitalism is fine if it's allowed to work is a theory and a premise.
Okay.
And you can't ground it in any kind of a reality at all, because you can't maintain control of greed mm-hmm. and abuse mm-hmm. within the system of capitalism. Mm-hmm. So what you're saying sounds really nice, and wouldn't mm-hmm. it be great if capitalism was allowed to balance mm-hmm. itself out? Mm-hmm. But it's just a theory. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have anything to do with real people mm-hmm. or the real world or real life.
Yeah, economics is a theory. It's not a science. Where math is a science, 2 and 2 is 4. It can't be refuted. Economic theory can be refuted, for sure. Anything else, Gita?
So why use a theory that's just a theory and doesn't have anything to do with real life to actually comment on a real life situation of employment.
Well, whatever view you take about economics, whether you're on one side of the aisle or the other, it still is all theory. So if you would
that
say
person
that, that
who needs a job is not a theory, and what restaurants pay in current time is not a theory.
Yeah, but when we look at it and try to analyze it and try to dissect it, we have to have some sort of belief system. Otherwise,
why would you want to analyze it and dissect it if it has no practical application?
It has a very big practical application.
Which is
the study of economies and how they operate.
But if they can't be practically applied, what's the point?
I think they can be practically applied, and that's where the discussion takes place.
And go ahead then. What is the discussion?
Well, if you have any other comments, I'll write them down and I'll address them off the air is how I run the show. But did you have anything else to say, and I'll address it off the air?
Actually, on the air, I'm sure people would love to hear the practical application.
Well, okay. I will address them off the air because that's the way I run the show. So did you have another comment?
Okay, that's it. Thanks.
Okay.
Bye.
All right, there we go. And I'll address that in just a second. We've got another call. And welcome to Money Matters. My name is Mark. How are you? Who's this?
This is George.
Hi, George.
I was just wondering if you thought there was any chance that a conservative Supreme Court could do away with the minimum wage under the concept that it's a restraint of trade.
I think anything is possible, including Martians landing on the Earth. Yeah. Is that it? You have another comment, George?
That's it. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. All right. So to address Geeta's question, it is being a social science. I mean, you are going to have views one way or the other. There are things that are not quantifiable, but that doesn't mean that we give up on the dissection or the analysis of it. I mean, if we can't just all throw up our hands and say, well, it has no applicable value or it has no applicable solid concrete conclusion, so we give up on the analysis of it. So the theory on capitalism, which is what you are not seeing in the last 40 or 50 years, is that capitalism, with certain constraints under monopolies and things of this sort, which I can get into, capitalism will address excess profits, it will address unemployment, it will address higher wages if it is left alone. But you can't tell me that what we see today is capitalism. It is probably very far from it. And you're live on the air with Money Matters. And who's this?
This is Douglas.
Hi, Douglas. Please don't mention the entity in question. What would you like to add?
I'd like to add that I definitely have sympathies for the libertarian point of view. Mm-hmm. And in the example you gave, it totally makes sense. But what I see in our American society is, as you zoom out, there's a power imbalance. The bigger the company is or the corporation, the more of a power imbalance. Mm-hmm. And I heard an economist speaking on KVMR saying that the workers' buying power has not gone up since 1972, mm-hmm. whereas corporations' profits and assets have gone up massively.
I agree with that statement.
And so I feel like small businesses, they're one of us. They're just trying to survive and figure out what to do with the few dollars they have. Mm-hmm. But our whole society does have an imbalance that's getting worse and worse. Mm-hmm. And the worker has no power in that situation. The large corporations have too much power in that situation. And how you draw a line, how you fix that, I don't know. But the imbalance is clearly there, and it's a problem for our society. It's an injustice.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I wrote your first name down. Now I can't read it. What was it?
Douglas.
Okay, Douglas. Sorry, like that. Okay, did you want to add anything else, Douglas? And I'll see if I can address that.
No, that's the point I wanted to make. Thank you.
There you go. Okay. There is a reason why the 1%ers are getting richer and the lower percentages on the other 99, usually, I think it's about 92 actually, that are getting poor. And it is basically, there is a economic fact, this is an economic fact, that in inflation, which can be caused by demand, but the inflation that I'm referring to is called monetary inflation, where we print a lot of dollars. They really don't print them, but they create them. What happens is when you make inflation, when you see inflation, prices are rising, everything goes up and wages do go up, but wages are always lagging behind. So the more inflation you see, for the longer that you see it, then the wages The nominal wages will seem to rise, but in actual buying dollars, the wages are falling. So Douglas made a good point, is that in the last 20 or 30 years, the actual spending power of wages has not increased. While the corporations, the large ones and the one percenters, are making a lot more money. And the reason is because when you drive inflation, whether through creation, bailing out banks, or a plethora of a lot of different social programs, or spending on things like high-speed rails or whatever you're spending things on, the government has to create money. And it's creating about $1 trillion a year now. Off the charts what they're creating. What that causes is it causes inflation pretty much across the board. Now, some things do not inflate, but a lot of things do. And when you see inflation across the board, you see wages go up and your house goes up and your stock prices go up if you own that. But the wages don't go up as fast. So the longer you see inflation, the longer you run inflation, the more and more people will fall under the bus. And what's happening is that when people are falling under the bus, they're calling for more social programs, more assistance, because they need to eat. And that is a very valid reason. But what happens is when you call for more of these things, then we'll call for more government spending and call for more money printing and call for bailing out the banks and call for all that stuff, the rich love it. They love inflation. When you call for more programs, they love it. And let me tell you why. If you're struggling to make ends meet and you see a 3% increase in food and gas and utilities and everything, there are certain people that are running right on the border. And you give them a 1% increase and they fall into can't make it. So they fall under the bus. And they now must ask for social assistance somehow, in some way, shape, or form. But what happens is if you see 3% inflation and you happen to be somebody that owns, you know, $30 million worth of assets, and you see 3% there, well, you see, you know, $300,000 worth of gains or whatever 3% is. So $900,000 worth of gains on $30 million is $900,000. So in essence, it's my opinion that those in power, that when you call for more programs and more assistance, they say that's perfect because I have a lot of assets. My assets go up by 900 grand, but your assets don't go up because you don't have any. And so what happens is you begin to not be able to make ends meet, and more people get in the cart than off the cart. So they tax more. And when they tax more to help these people that are struggling, and when they create more money, because they don't get all their money from taxes, they create a lot of it, we see more inflation. Prices go higher, and then wages go up a little bit, but they never keep up, and more people fall under the bus. So we can see the price of a candy bar from a nickel up to $2-3 right now, and you know, go in a fast food place and you get a burger and it's like $9 or $8. It's no wonder people can't make ends meet. The direct cause of the problems we see in low wages, in my opinion, is the creation of funds. It's the creation of money. It's more money into the system being created out of nothing. And so what we see is that more people can't afford it because their wages don't climb as much, and it's a very stealthy transfer. It's a very common saying that inflation is a stealthy program to transfer the wealth of the working class to the wealth of the rich. And we see it in every country that adopts more and more type socialistic programs or more and more type socialist systems. The wealth gets concentrated more and more at the top because they love inflation. They love it when you call for more from the government. They absolutely love it because they have so many assets. When you get a 3% inflation, they make a ton. But then a lot of other people down below, they don't make any money. They fall under the bus, and then you call for more, and it's a vicious circle. We're going to take a break. You're listening to Money Matters on KVMR on your community radio station, and we will be right back.
I'm the tax man.
And you're tuned to Money Matters on your community radio station. Thanks for joining us today. So when we raise minimum wage laws, okay, two things happen. The companies have to pay more, whether it's a little guy or a big corporation. They got to pay more. And corporations, for the most part, will not eat costs. They will pass them on to the consumer through price increases, whether it be packaging inflation, where the packages get smaller, or whether it be price inflation or fee inflation, like resort fees that you see at some hotels. They pass those costs on, and you can't stop it. You can't regulate profits realistically in a free market. Now, if you try to regulate profits in a closed market, in either a socialist market or you know, a crony capitalism market, or you see something like that, all sorts of anomalies happen that are very, very bad. I mean, you look at a lot of social companies. I think social companies, somebody referred to Sweden or referred to Switzerland. I think it was Sweden. They sent me something that everybody gets health care and everybody's happy and, you know, living a great life over there. What they didn't realize, and I brought up, is that the Swedish tax system is not as graduated as ours. In other words, the top rate, I think, is 60% of income. And they implement that type of rate all the way down. So anytime that the government takes money out of the system and puts it back, you know, in a way of free services, there's a drain on the system. So when the drain on the funds that are going into the system. So when you see a minimum wage increase, the companies, fast food restaurants or whoever they see the minimum wage increase, will raise prices. And then you see inflation. And then you see inflation, and then wages go up because you make minimum wage. It goes up, and your wages go up. But inflation will eventually erode any benefit you got for those minimum wage increases. And then you're right back at square one again. It's why we keep having to raise them. They don't work. Minimum wage does not work. And the reason we're seeing the problems that we are, because we've got crony capitalism. We've got a non-capitalist system, such as subsidies and other things that are not allowing the capitalistic gears to work. Capitalism is not a dirty word. I mean, capitalism basically, as I always tell everybody, capitalism is this. You go to the store and you buy something that you agree to buy for the price you agree to buy it, and the seller agrees to sell it to you for whatever he agrees to sell it to it. That's capitalism. Greedy bankers and giant corporations screwing people is not capitalism. Capitalism will address excess profits. And basically it does that through when you make so much money in an industry, other companies will come in to that market and start producing as well. So other companies will start to compete. They're saying, look, Joe Blow is selling widgets and he's making a fortune. Other companies will say, well, we'll make our version of a widget and we'll take part of his profits. And in the process of doing that, they make more widgets. So the price comes down through competition and the supply goes up through increased production by companies that move in to that sector. And in reverse, when we see an oversupply, prices will fall. Pretty soon companies will go out of business. And then the supply will drop as companies fall away and go broke. And then because the supply is reduced, then the price will start to climb again. So there's a saying in economics, at least in Austrian economics, that high prices cures high prices and low prices cures low prices. So I guess the solution to this, I mean, when you're so far down the road, and we're so far down the road of this imbalance of the super rich having so much money, and you see it in Latin American countries, anytime you see massive money printing, you see this dynamic. There's fewer and fewer people at the top and a ton of people at the bottom. And the more that goes on, the more the money creation goes on, the more inflation goes on, more and more people fall away until eventually you get a revolt. And you get a revolt and they either go to a dictator type system or they start over again. Sometimes countries go in with a new currency, but it doesn't solve the problem. So I did see that there were some arguments on this Facebook post that the people should not accept that wage. So my response to that is, then what do you do? Do you wait for minimum wage laws to increase? Or do you, nobody goes to this particular fast food restaurant until they raise the wages? That, you know, that's a boycott, sure. That would raise wages. But in essence, when wages are raised, you can bet your bippy, right? That was whatever Laffin used to say that. You can bet your bippy that you're going to see price increases later on. They're going to start the whole cycle over again. And so the compassionate part of this is, how do you address the people that now don't have enough money? Well, it's already sick, you know, once you've got cancer or once you've got a disease, then it's ugly. I mean, you got to fix it. And unfortunately, the fix means much misery to correct this. The fix means much misery. One of the slight corrections would be to let the crisis go. Have them let it go because they got in so much trouble with so much money creation, lending money on houses. They just got in so much trouble that not only the principal couldn't be paid back, the interest couldn't be paid, and there wasn't enough liquidity in the system, and the Fed had to add liquidity. When you add liquidity, you're adding dollars, and when you're adding dollars, you add inflation, and then you're right back to the same old circle again. 530-265-9555 is the number to comment. And so to go backwards would be miserable. It's almost, you know, you can't be done. It can be, but the amount of people that would suffer from reversing the gears that we've already have in motion would be tremendous. If they would have let the crisis go, it was going to be very, very ugly. But at least that part of the inflation-driven would have been rectified, but it would have been miserable. In my opinion, you would have seen 20-30% unemployment. Housing would have probably crashed by 80%. Companies would have gone out of business. Many, 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 many people would have starved. Violence, stress. I mean, it would have been terrible. And it just because you didn't bail out the crisis wouldn't have fixed the underlying system. And so what, in my opinion, what we've got to do is you have to get back to free markets. But when you do that, I mean, you have to remove all subsidies. You have to remove barriers of entrance. You know, when a company can't enter a particular market because of regulatory constraints, cost too much, you're not going to get competition coming in there. And what you're seeing, the concentration of wealth at the top is not because, in my opinion, is not because they're screwing employees. It's because you're seeing inflation and their assets are inflating like crazy. 3% of $1 billion is a lot of money. So, and, you know, we have seen terrible inflation. I mean, burgers, I can't believe it, at a fast food place. I mean, there are still some dollar menus available, but man, $5, $6, $7? I mean, I'm sending my kid to school. When I went to school, my tuition was $116 for the semester. And my dad sent me $250 a month to pay for my rent, my gas, and my food. I lived in a dorm for only about 8 weeks and got out of there. Now, to send my kid to college, I don't know, it's $50,000 a year. You know, it's just crazy how much it costs. So there are no easy solutions. But I will say that economics is a study of social behavior. It is not a science. It's the reason you get a Bachelor of Arts when you graduate in economics and not a Bachelor of Sciences, because it's a study of economics. And there are many versions. And people that don't study economics only see the misery. They only see that they think that corporations screw people, or, you know, that they say corporations aren't people and we have to regulate the big corporations. You know, the only way basically you can regulate the big corporations is take them all under government control. And when we see that in a country, for the most part, it's a disaster, a complete disaster. And, you know, you see a country take off, like when China took off or Japan took off, they exercise capitalism, you know, in a more pure form, not perfect capitalism. You know, where capitalism has to be reined in is monopolies. If you've got a monopoly like PG&E, I'm not saying that that's a bad company or a good company, but it's hard to install gas lines and electrical lines when they're already there. When you see that sort of monopoly, you do need a government regulatory body to make sure that PG&E doesn't jack its rates to the sky, or whatever local utility company is jacking rates to the sky. You don't want five different water companies because everybody would be digging up the streets. You are live on the air with Money Matters. Please do not mention the entity in question here. Who am I speaking to?
Hey, my name is Jeffrey.
Hi,
and
Jeffrey.
I want to go back to your original comment on being an able-bodied and the aspect of not taking jobs that are available.
Sure.
Just because you're able-bodied does not mean you have any skill set. And right now, with this entitlement population going on, They want something that they have that they don't even deserve. And the bottom line is it's been proven that those who have been unemployed, once they get in the workforce and work 3 months where they learn how to wake up, go to their job, come home, and create a life, a beginning, that they now have a way to make more money because reality is we need all the people to work to make it work. And the aspect of being on the dole or whatever you want to call it, that's not a win-win at all because that's like saying you get hurt, well, I'm going to be on TDI. You make no money. In fact, you go backwards. And when you become employed, A, you create a sense of responsibility for yourself, and you create a workforce where people can depend on you. And when people start depending on you, you rise up and feel good about helping and working because you have a reciprocation of effort to value. And that's the most important thing because giving money away does not teach them how to fish. They will never do anything other than keep their hand out. And I know this for a fact because I'm 62. I have been running men and women for over 30 years. And I tell you, little beginnings is the beginning of everything. And everybody wants a big jump into something. It ain't happening. Win the lottery, they're broke in a year. It doesn't happen until you make responsibilities and create something that has meaning for yourself. And that's the most important thing. And people are so fleeting, they can't even focus on the now. They're in the future or in the past. And being in the present, looking for a job and finding a job takes commitment. And that's what we need more of. And that's what we need to teach. Because the bottom line is working for minimum wage, but having some personal input and results is greater than the wage.
So well said.
I think all these other people have gotten way off the line in the capitalism and corporations, all this.
All right. Hopefully we bleated that out. Sorry to cut you off there. We had a swear word there. I hope your radio's still on. Well, we did bleat that out. Hopefully it didn't make it out on the air. We have a kill switch there. Jeffrey had some great comments. You have to refrain from profanity, please. We don't want another clothing malfunction like we had at the Super Bowl. So hopefully we bleated that out. And good points. And I must say that I'm probably agreeing with some of the things that Jeffrey had said there. Okay, so we had a lot of good calls, a lot of good comments, and I know there's going to be some disagreements with some of the things I said, and obviously we have people calling in very passionate about both sides of this issue. But I did want to air it today and, and just make it aware that there were two sides of this. And again, economics is a social science study and not a particular social science study. Please be advised that discussions in this show should not be construed as specific recommendations or investment advice. Always consult with your investment professional before making important investment decisions. I am an investment advisor, a representative of 2 Cambridge Investment Research Advisors, Inc., a registered investment advisor. Views expressed are my opinions only. They do not necessarily reflect those of this station, does not reflect those of Cambridge, its staff members or underwriters. This has been show 274, Fast Food Employment Needed. We have debated the fast food restaurant that is looking for workers here in the county. And so thank you so much. This show will be available for download at the website moneymanagementradio.com, where everything is free. It's our way, it's this station's way of saying thank you for listening to your community radio station. And of course there are many ways to support your particular community radio station, and of course we urge you to consider that as well. My name is Mark Cuniberti. I want to say, everybody, God bless. Keep working. Work hard. Keep your head down. And have a great day.